Recently, the Commonwealth government has instituted new changes to our hospitals. Apparently, hospitals can now be penalised for their mistakes, which, you know, may be a good thing, may not be. We've got Helen Dickinson, who is a brilliant academic from the University of New South Wales, to tell us a bit more about this initiative. So, I mean, Helen, first off, what kind of mistakes can hospitals be penalised for? What are the consequences?
So there's a range of different essentially mistakes that are called hospital-acquired complications. And so they include things like where people get an infection when they're in hospital, or somebody has a fall or gets a pressure injury. And so there's a range of these different hacks, they're called. And essentially what there is good evidence that you can reduce these from happening or reduce the implications of them by doing certain things in hospitals. So they're seen as generally being quite avoidable things.
All right. So what has the government decided to do to try and, you know, stop those things happening?
So it's a very complicated system in some senses, but what they've done is identified a number of these different complications. And what they've said is that if somebody gets one of these in hospital, then the overall cost of their care becomes more expensive because you need more treatment for the fall or the pressure injury on top of the thing that you went in for already. And so they've worked at how much more on average your care costs if you have one of these issues arise. And what they do then is they will withhold a proportion of the money they would usually give to hospital for the care of a patient if somebody has one of these complications. And I say it's complicated because it kind of, there's a bunch of things that depend on, you know, your age, what your principal diagnosis is, so how at risk you are as to how much of that cost gets held back by the government.
Okay, so okay, so essentially hospitals lose money because they make mistakes. So they're kind of using a stick instead of a carrot. So, I mean, is there research to support the efficiency of this particular method?
I mean, you're absolutely right that it's kind of a pay-for-performance system, essentially. You know, if you don't perform in the way that in the way the government wants to, then they'll withhold some of that sort of payment. And there's a big literature on pay-for-performance systems, and it's kind of quite mixed in terms of the evidence base, but most of what's there suggests that it doesn't actually work. So there's really good reasons often why certain things happen in hospitals. If you imagine there are really busy professionals with a number of different kind of competing things that are happening, and simply essentially fining the hospital for those issues arising probably won't fundamentally change the practice of those professionals. And essentially, you know, paying a hospital less where you have these issues arise might not necessarily lead to better outcomes overall.
So, I mean, can you just sort of outline for me, like, how does private health insurance, like, how have they been involved in this?
Well, arguably some of this stuff is influenced by some of the changes that have happened in contracts between private insurers and hospitals. So a couple of years ago, some of the big insurers entered into new contracts with hospitals and put these sorts of stipulations into their contracts. So it's been happening there for a little while, although we don't have a huge amount of the data to know what impact that has had. And this kind of follows up also on a new policy that was put into place last year in the public sector, where hospitals would not be paid where there were really serious kind of incidents that are called sentinel incidents, and things that should never happen, like you know, if somebody has an amputation and they take the wrong limb or something like that. So essentially this is an expansion of a policy that's already in place.
Okay, so I mean, in your opinion, what do you think is a better way to improve hospitals but not with this particular policy?
Yeah, I mean, it is a really tricky one because there isn't one really easy answer around this. But my personal opinion is if you do this and you don't surround it with another kind of a number of other different quality improvement activities, then it's not going to be effective. So I think it's really important that we understand better why some of these issues arise and how we can better support professionals so that we make sure that they don't happen, rather than using a very kind of blunt instrument of just finding hospitals where they do occur.
Mm. Well, that was Helen Dickinson there from the University of New South Wales telling us a bit about the new changes coming into our hospitals and, you know, whether they're really doing enough or whether they're the right changes really to mitigate the sort of, you know, hospital mistakes that can happen.